first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And looking at, we've already seen what the command requires. We see what the command prohibits or forbids. It forbids all forms of atheism, and we showed how there's basically three forms. One that no one here is probably guilty of, the other two, different story. Also forbids profanity or profaneness, as is taught throughout the Old Testament. We looked at various forms of profaning God. And the last thing concerning what is forbidden here, of course, and it's the most obvious, and that is idolatry. So in the very first command, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Again, this is foundational. You break this command, you're going to break the others. You break the others, you've already broken this one. So in the very first command, idolatry is forbidden. Idolatry is outlawed by God. We need to think of it in those terms. When God says not to do something, and we do it, that makes us an outlaw. That makes us a criminal. It makes us a criminal against God. Seems to me that to be a criminal against God is far worse than being a criminal against man. Now realize that you're a criminal against man, you're also a criminal against God. So what he's done here in the very first command is he makes idolatry illegal. God declares it to be illegal. God declares that it is illegal to put anything ahead of him. That's illegal. That is a criminal act. Now, idolatry is Satan's attempt to undermine the position of God. Anytime we put something ahead of God, we've already undermined his position. You have to undermine his position in order to put something ahead of him. So you have already done that. When you put something ahead of God, you can't just say, Lord, forgive me for doing that. You also have to pray for forgiveness for the fact that you have undermined God. And you did that before you put something ahead of God. You do not have to deny God to be an idolater. All you have to do is put something in the place that belongs to God. And what is the place that belongs to God? First, anything put in that place is idolatry. And it is criminal. Idolatry, just like pride, is the sin of sins. It's man's greatest threat. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14, flee. That is, run away from idolatry. Those two words, flee idolatry. That tells us a couple of things. It tells us that idolatry exists. It tells us that we are going to see idolatry. And when that happens, we're to flee it. We're to flee it. It also speaks of the fact that we are prone to idolatry. As we've said many times, our hearts and minds are our idol factories, and we might as well just look at them that way. They are idol-producing factories. And you destroy one idol, your factory will produce another one. Just give it, it's just a matter of time, and it will produce another one. John wrote in 1 John 5, verse 21, keep yourselves, so it's personal. And the word keep means to guard or garrison. Guard or garrison yourselves from idols. So you have to put a barrier around yourself to keep the idols out of your life. Now, in our day and culture, most, of course, in the United States, think of idolatry as something that is limited to primitive cultures. They get in their mind the picture of someone bowing down to a statue of some kind. And though that is certainly idolatry, we must never, ever limit idolatry to such. Idolatry is any time we put something ahead of God. Many of God's people tend to think that idolatry is something that was practiced in the Old Testament, and certainly it was, practiced in the Old Testament by pagan people, and that it is strictly an Old Testament problem. Idolatry is more a problem today than it was in the Old Testament. It's grown. There's more idols now than there was in the Old Testament. No doubt, idolatry is an Old Testament problem. There's no question about that. But it is even more so a modern-day problem, especially in our culture and in our society. Now, Paul, in Colossians 3 and verse 5, identifies covetousness as idolatry. He said there in Colossians 3, verse 5, covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Now, to be guilty of covetousness, you do not have to actually obtain something. Again, covetousness is a sin of the mind. It's a sin of the heart. It's the desire to put something ahead of God. It's to desire something more than you desire God. That's covetousness. And that's idolatry. You say, well, I never achieved it. It doesn't matter. You committed it in your heart and in your mind. So idolatry is much more than bowing down to a statue, much more than bowing down to some object or some whatever, statue or whatever. It's moving God. First thing you have to do is you move God out of His rightful place. That's the first thing you have to do in order to commit idolatry. Anytime you put something ahead of God, again, as we've already said, before you put something ahead of God, you have to move Him out of His rightful place. And you do that and you justify it in your mind, that somehow it's okay for you. So idolatry is moving God out of His rightful place in our day-to-day lives. However we do that, doesn't really matter. However we do that, moving God out of His rightful place in our daily lives, that's where idolatry begins. And then we replace, once we move Him out of His rightful place, then we replace Him with something or someone else. That's idolatry. That is idolatry. And it's illegal. God made a law against it. It's a criminal act. It's a criminal act against God. Anything that is treated as more important than God is an idol. And the Lord says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Or you can just read it, thou shalt have no other before me. Because a lot of people, when they see that word gods, they'll say, well, I don't have gods. Okay, let's just take away the word gods. Thou shalt have no other before me. Because whatever you put before God is a god. Thou shalt have no other before me. So whatever captures our attention, occupies our mind, fills our thoughts, consumes our desires more than God is a violation of the first command. Some people might be thinking, well, Brother Dan, if you go that far, then what you're saying is that we're all idolaters. You got it. You got it. We break the first command every day. We do. may only do it for a few seconds at a time. We break the first command. We commit criminal acts. Idolatry, again, is not just a so-called problem of primitive lands, nor is it simply an Old Testament problem. It's a modern-day problem, and it is a problem for God's people. You see it all the time, every time we assemble as a church. There are people that are not here because they're idolaters. Because they're idolaters. In our society, we are surrounded by more idols, I believe, than in the history of the world. They leer at us, these idols, from billboards, magazines. They call to us from the television. They call to us from the radio, from the computer. They want to capture our attention. They want to capture our interest, our money, our time, which eventually leads, of course, to capturing our commitment. All things that ought to be captured by God. So whatever becomes more important, more prominent, more preeminent, more central in our lives than God is a violation of thou shalt have no other gods before me. That means that anything and everything can become an idol. An idol does not have to be some wicked, evil thing. An idol can be a very legitimate thing. An idol can be a very necessary thing. But anything and everything can become an idol. And therefore, anything and everything, anything and anybody that comes into our lives, we need to pray, Lord, help me never to make this thing or this person or whatever an idol. Help me never to put it ahead of God. Never. Whether it just be in my thoughts. Again, there are people, they sit in church and they're thinking about material things or thinking about the world. You're an idolater. You're committing idolatry. And we've all done it. So whatever gives God a back seat is an idol. It can be a child. It can be a parent. It can be a friend. Again, the list is endless. Whatever exists, and that's an endless list, can be an idol. It can be very lawful things. It can be wicked things. Whatever gives God a back seat is an idol. You see, there's a great deal of competition in our lives for number one. If we weren't so wicked, there wouldn't be a competition. We wouldn't struggle with it. But our hearts are desperately wicked. And therefore, there is a competition in our lives for number one. Sad to say, for many, that competition has ended because they've already given their lives completely over to other things. So there's no longer competition. Competition ceased. And we are very prone and we are very subject to idolatry. It's very easy for us to slip into idolatry. It's a sin that we must pray against every single day. It is a sin that we must watch against every single day. And I believe that's part of fleeing from our idolatry. It is a sin, again, that we must pray against. We must not allow anything apart from God to rule us, to compel us, to control us, Because when these things, when something else controls us, rules us, we have an idol. We have an idol in our lives. It can be internal, an inward desire for something or someone more than God. And it can be external. It can be both. And given enough time, it will be. If you don't take care of the internal, it will eventually be both. It'll be internal and external. So both are sin. Whether it's internal or external, both are sin. And both are in violation of the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That condemns idolatry. All forms of idolatry is foolish. Put it in plain English, it's plain stupid. I mean, you can't get much more foolish than putting something in place of God. Psalm 135, we'll read verses 15 through verse 17. But idolatry is foolishness because all idols are temporary. As Brother Mark was mentioning in his devotional, all idols are temporary. All idols are insignificant in comparison to God. Just insignificant. But in Psalm 135, verse 15, the idols of the heathen, and may I say, when we commit idolatry, we're living like the heathen. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Talking about their idols that they make. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. Why, and you choose something like that over God, that seems to me to be pretty foolish. Idolatry is settling for shadows rather than substance. Saying, I'll take the shadow. I'll leave the real thing and take the shadow. Because all idols, that's all it is. You don't bring them with you. It's all shadow. And when we forsake substance for shadow, that's pretty costly. That's pretty costly. It's pretty foolish to measure cost simply by dollars and cents. That's only one way, and it is a very, very small way to measure cost. There's other ways to measure cost. And when you forsake reality for when you forsake substance for shadow, that's a huge cost to you. In all forms of idolatry, that's what we do. And sadly, many of God's people, they know it while they're doing it. And they're still doing it. Well, that makes you even more foolish than the person who just does it out of complete ignorance. Idolatry is an act of foolishness. We'll look at some other characteristics of idolatry next week, and we'll finish next week on the first command. But again, our minds have to go beyond just the little box that people put the first command in. It extends, the extent is so wide. And therefore, we're all guilty in some form or another of breaking the first command. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Again, Lord, we thank you so much for the Ten Commandments. Thank you, Lord, so much the instruction that we find in them, the warnings that we find in him, the unveiling of our own wicked hearts that we see in these commandments. We thank you, Lord, that you've given them to us for our own benefit, for our own good, for our own well-being. Lord, we pray today as we worship you in spirit and truth that you'd be with us. Lord, that you'd help us. Help us to glorify you. Lord, we pray that you would just draw us closer to thee. Cause us to go from here today more like thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.